So welcome to the Retirement Gym. This is the podcast that aims to help you make good retirement decisions whilst you're saving for retirement and how to spend money when you're actually in retirement. Hi, my name's Roy Thompson. I head up MHA Carpenter Box Wealth Management. We're a firm of independent financial advisors, and the Retirement Gym podcast series is aimed at helping people make retirement decisions. In this series, what I want to look at is budgeting and how important that is as you move into or approach retirement and into retirement. It's a time of your life when perhaps you're losing a regular income, perhaps from employment or from your own business, and you're switching to relying upon your own savings, be that money at the bank, be it buy-to-let property, pension arrangements, or quite commonly a mixture of all of those. Retirement is definitely changing. We've got more people living longer. Certainly, Office of National Statistics suggest that a woman aged 65 has about a 7.5% chance of reaching 100. There's some recent press around life expectancy not extending or not continuing to rise at quite the same rate, but it's still fairly sure that for retirement is likely to be somewhere between 30 and 40 years. It's a huge swathe of time during which you'll have many social issues to consider, sort of how do you pass money on to your children if you've got children, what about cost of care? That's a big political issue certainly at the moment. So what we have is a really important phase of our life, and one of the things I find from doing my job on a day-to-day basis is that a lot of people approach retirement with the concept that they need to have some money behind them, but they don't know how much. And part of the reason they don't know how much they need to have behind them is because they're not even aware of what their spending habits are. So budgeting, in my opinion, is really, really important. I've got with me today one of my colleagues, Jill Lyons. Jill's a financial advisor and has been in the industry for some 20 years plus now. So lots and lots of experience. She deals a lot with people in later life. So good morning, Jill. How are you?
Good morning, Roy. I am well, thank you.
Good. So, Jill, do you want to tell us a little bit about the sort of work that you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, well, my specialism is helping clients in later life. And later life, we call from 55 onwards, really. So I help people who are coming up to retirement, people who are in retirement, with things that they're commonly concerned about. So one of the major things that people worry about is, are they going to have enough money? Are they going to run out of money? Yeah. Going through retirement, people might be thinking, can they afford to give sums of money away, perhaps to children and grandchildren? And then in later life, which we would deem to be from 80 years onwards, then, as you were saying, matters such as care fees, planning, and perhaps if you're lucky enough to have a problem with inheritance tax, that might be a concern as well. So that's what I do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, so that's a huge range of topics and different people that you come across on a regular basis, which I guess sort of, you know, with the number of years of experience of dealing with that, you've seen lots of different views and approaches to things.
Yeah, and it's interesting, as you were saying, some people have really no idea at all of what they're going to be spending in retirement or even what they're spending now. So quite often I get asked, how much should I be saving into a pension? And my answer is always, what you can afford to save into a pension. There's been various surveys done. I think a lot of people coming up to retirement might really have no idea of what it costs just to run a house. So, you know, various surveys have suggested that about $18,000 is typical of what you would spend just on things sort of mandatory expenditure, so heating and eating, that kind of thing.
I guess that's right. And, you know, I know from, again, from the work that I do is that people's expectations are very, very different. So I've certainly got clients who have not what you would call an astronomical income, but they're perfectly happy. They're very content with their lives. And I've got other people who have got what I would call quite a high level of income, and they're still worried that they haven't got enough. So personal circumstances, I think, are a very big factor as well.
Very true. Solvency is a state of mind, definitely. But one of the surveys that I was looking at, so preparing for our chat today, was implying that so $18,000 per household would cover your expenditure, your essential expenditure, and that would rise to about $26,000 if you threw in some holidays, so to Europe maybe. And if you were thinking about going further afield and perhaps having a new car every 5 years, then you'd be looking at around £40,000 a year. And people don't seem to have a concept of how much savings they would need to generate that kind of income. And I don't know if that's something that you'd agree with.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, obviously when you start to look at studies, and you've referenced 18,000 there, it's quite interesting to me, because more often than not, that will look at your costs for, as you sort of said there, running the home. But of course, what you have to consider is if you're retired, then it is like having a permanent weekend. So invariably, most couples or individuals do quite like to go and do social things, whether that be, you know, following bands, music, playing sport, going out for dinner, going away, as you've referenced there. So costs that you might call discretionary costs can be much higher as you move into retirement. And sort of the adage that I quite often get is, well, you know, when I've retired, the kids will be gone, so my outgoings will be an awful lot less. And actually, the reality is, yes, the kids will be gone, but you know, you might have grandkids that you want to spend money on, and you might want to do more with your time, all of which cost money.
Yeah, I mean, the typical pattern is that people in the earlier years of retirement are going to want to do some major capital expenditure. So quite a lot of people have got plans to go travelling. Some people might want to do home improvements. But yeah, you're right. If you've got all of those hours of leisure, you really don't want to be in the situation where you can't afford to do the things that you want to do.
No, because it would just lead to, you know, I guess, frustration and almost resentment. So as I say, right at the beginning there, what I find really interesting is, yes, getting yourself into a position where you're financially secure is very, very important, but it allows you to make some pretty strong emotional decisions, which affect, you know, again, could affect the whole family. So it's a really important subject. So when you're speaking with your clients and talking about budgeting, what do you tend to do? What's the process that you involve yourself with?
So I like to ask people what they're spending now. So if somebody's coming up to retirement now, to get them to think about what their expenses are at the moment. So whilst they're still working and whilst they're still earning and presumably accumulating savings towards giving up work and towards retiring. And then to think about what expenses are going to continue. So some people make the assumption, as you say, that their expenses will be very much less. But unless you're a commuter, then you're still going to have the bills to pay, you're still going to have a car to run, you're still going to want to do the weekly shopping, to go on holiday, and so on and so forth. So the assumption that your expenses are going to be less is probably not correct. So I find it's useful to get people to complete a budget planner, to have a really good look at what their expenditure is and actually what they're spending money on, and then have a discussion from there, really.
Yeah, the budget planner always interests me. So
when
I get it out and start thinking about it with a client, then there's a definite roll of the eyes. And I think it's just, you know, the word budgeting is quite negative. It's sort of got a connotation that you haven't got enough money, and perhaps reminds you of when you were a student or something of that nature.
Applying for a loan or something.
All of which is pretty dull. But I think it's a really important thing to do, just to get a simple budget planner and write down costs.
Do you find that clients vary? Because I find that sometimes you produce the budget planner and people are very resistant to filling it in and will just give you a ballpark figure of what they think their expenditure is.
Yeah.
And then you get the other extreme, to someone who will produce a really, really detailed spreadsheet, which they run themselves, which has everything down to haircuts and getting the chimney swept once a year. year. And,
that's exactly it. And the reality in my mind is usually somewhere in between, because, of course, when you start talking about your budget and start thinking about what's going to happen moving forward, you're never going to live your life according to a spreadsheet. So it's always going to vary slightly. So in my mind, it has to be conceptually correct, i.e. it needs to be in the right sort of ballpark. I would probably suggest that most people look back over 3 to 6 months bank statements. What did they spend? What did they spend money on? And start working out a budget from there. And I think if you start to go into too much granular detail, you'll get sort of paralysis and never get the job completed. So.
And I would agree with you. And that's sometimes where you get clients, perhaps a couple, you tend to find that there's a spender and a saver. In a relationship seems to be typical. And from then you might sort of open the discussion as to what you're going to do in retirement. And sometimes you get couples with very, very different ideas of what they'll be doing.
I think that's a really important thing, because that definitely does happen. But actually sitting down and having a talk about those differences when you're perhaps 5-10 years away from retirement is important in itself. So, you know, it's not just considering the costs, it's considering the acts that go behind the cost. Because if one of you wants to be whizzing around the world in a Winnebago and the other one wants to be reading a book on the couch, actually, we better have those conversations now so we can start to think about how we're going to manage that as a couple, I guess.
Yeah, and I think people don't do that, and people don't visualise what retirement will actually be like for them. And I think that's a problem. I think people need to try and think and plan for retirement, not only from a budgetary point of view, but from a health point of view and from a social point of view as well.
I strongly agree with that. I'm really interested in this subject, and I think that actually thinking about the notion of retirement, people should be thinking about the notion of the time that they have. I know you and me have spoken before, and you've said about possibly doing a degree, and it's that sort of thing that becomes really important, because you're suddenly going to have quite a bit of spare time. You're going to have, you know, in that spare time, you're going to have to think about what you do to fill it, and also what you need to do or want to do to give yourself a sense of purpose. And of course, those things are really important, but they might have a cost attached to them. So if you were going to do a university degree, okay, it might be that the costs are covered in some way, but if it's something that you wanted to do privately, it might be that you something you need to fund. So it's an important thing to add into your budget planner.
Yeah, that's right. And I think you need to manage your expectations as well, which is where we come back to the budget planner. If once you've completed the exercise and you think, gosh, things are a bit tight, then you hopefully you've got time to plan to rectify that. If it was my ambition to go on 3 or 4 cruises per year, I might be looking, in fact, I would be looking at my own retirement planning, thinking this is really not sufficient. I'm asking you for a wage rise.
I'd just be telling you to work longer, Jill. So okay, there's another option, another option available. But I think that's right. And again, going back to the budget planner, what I find, I guess, common mistakes or things that people do is they will start to look at it and so they will start to use phraseology along the lines of, well, this is what I could get by on, which I think is an interesting concept. So, you know, they might be used to living on £2,000 a month and they say, oh, I can get by on £1,500.
Yeah.
And really coming back to that notion of retirement being maybe 25, 30, 35 years and longer for younger generations, do you really want to just get by for that period of time? I think it's unlikely.
Absolutely not, no. And you tend to find as well, if your budget really was that tight, you'd have to accept the reality that you'd be likely to go back to work in some form.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the notion of working 1 or 2 or 3 days or something of that nature is now quite popular, you know, as people, as I say, it gives them that sense of purpose, I guess, as well, which is a really interesting thing. There was another podcast I was reading about at the weekend, which was a Peter Crouch podcast, so a footballing reference. But he was talking about, in the podcast, he was talking about how difficult it is for a retired footballer. And I can imagine so, because of course they're very young when they retire from football. They've had been on a big stage and they move into a more normal world. And actually he was sort of saying, you know, loss of sort of purpose, sense of, sense of being, those sort of things were a real challenge. And he was saying he's quite lucky because obviously he's got quite a lot of work in the entertainment sector, but lots of other people in football, he was saying, haven't. And I was really struck because actually that's the same for everyone. That's not just a footballer, that's anyone who retires. You know, they move from perhaps having quite a senior position, sense of responsibility, and they move to, if that happens suddenly, they can move to a scenario where all of a sudden they lose quite a bit of their social network and sense of being. So, yeah, absolutely planning for some of these things, I think, is really important. And then understanding what that would cost, you know, does help you, again, coming back to that budget planner.
Absolutely. And by doing that, you can remove a lot of the stress and a lot of the worry and the concern. If you're thinking to yourself, I mean, we've both had clients who have said that they want to retire and they're worried that they can't afford to retire. Yes. And then when we've looked at the figures, we've said to them, well, actually, you can.
Yes.
And this is how much income you'd be expecting. And is that acceptable?
Yeah.
And I normally have, when I have that kind of conversation, people sort of are very relieved and they're like, oh, that's great. And then they normally say, but I'm not going to do it yet. I'm going to keep working and I'm going to keep saving. But the fact that they've got, they know that they've got that base level of income that they can look to cover essentials seems to be really comforting. And so they find it a really worthwhile exercise.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think it probably depends a little bit on your age. If you start to try and do a budget for retirement when you're, well, I'm 43, so if I try to do one now, it's only ever going to be broadly correct at best. And actually, if I started to say, well, I think I've got enough money, well, that's quite a brave call because I've got an exceedingly long period of time, fingers crossed, until I'm no longer here. Of course, if you get to sort of 60, 65, you're much closer to the point when you're going to need, you're going to retire, and you'll have a much stronger idea about whether the outgoings you've listed on your budget are actually correct. And I think it's another point, you know, completing a budget for retirement isn't just a one-time only deal. It's something to look at on a regular basis as your thoughts and feelings towards the world change. And of course, as legislation changes, as I mentioned right at the beginning, actually, you know, sort of social care and how that will affect people moving forward is likely to be quite a big political hot potato for the next few years. And you know, what you may well find is that actually more and more costs come down to the consumer, whether we like that or not.
Yeah, I think we're already seeing that, and I think it's a very difficult one because I have a lot of clients who will go into care later in life and that hasn't been planned for, and then that is a huge strain on the resources, and the whole family is affected by that. But I think that, you know, there are things that we can do, and there is planning that can be done just to make sure that finances are structured in the right way to minimise the impact of that. But yeah, it's a huge issue.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jill, I guess in talking about this, you know, what we're saying is budgeting, I think, whilst a negative connotation, has a positive slant when we start to think of it in retirement. So that's the first thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're absolutely looking at doing this, you should complete a budget planner that looks at your basic costs. So that's your council tax, your food bills, your day-to-day. You should look at what you spend on discretionary spending and ask yourself whether that's going to continue into retirement. You should look at things like house repairs, those sorts of things. So the odd one-off costs you should budget for as well.
Yeah, you might have debt or a mortgage, interest-only mortgage. We frequently see people saying, well, they need to repay that. So that's another thing that we come across quite regularly.
Yeah, Yeah, I agree, or should seek a way of making sure that you've got that funding secured as you move into retirement.
Yeah.
What you should then do in terms of the discretionary costs is you should start to think about the things you might want to do in retirement. You know, I referenced the notion of you doing a university degree.
Yeah.
I could tell you some of the things I'd quite like to do, but some of them are a bit embarrassing and not for public consumption. But so definitely start to think about the things you might want to do, whether you want to help your kids, your grandkids, those sorts of things. They should all be factored into your budget. You should make a stab of putting this down on paper, mm-hmm. and you should look at doing this on a regular basis, at least annually. And you can start, once you've got that budget, you can start to see whether your savings are on track. What we haven't done today is we haven't spoken about how much savings you need to perhaps cover the budget that you've got, and that's very much a different subject in my mind, about the sorts of things you can do and the returns you can expect when you get to retirement. Sort of limiting it just to the budget side of things today, but that's been, I know your experiences are similar to mine, but that's been really useful today, Jill, and appreciate you taking the time.
No problem.
So before we finish off, what I want to do is just to ask you three questions that I'm going to ask all my guests. So first and foremost, what's the one bit of advice you would give to someone at the pub?
At the pub?
Chill. Don't tell me you don't frequent them.
Don't eat the peanuts.
But what's your favourite day of the week?
I
think you look like a Sunday woman.
No, I don't like Sundays.
Is that the thought of coming back to work on a Monday?
No, it used to be the whole getting the kids ready for school kind of thing.
Okay.
But no, I like a Saturday morning.
Saturday morning?
Yeah.
What, a cup of coffee,
yeah.
Read the paper,
yeah.
Feet up.
Absolutely.
That sounds good to me, Jill. And then the last one, linked to retirement, I guess, and old age, which is a bit glum. What's your funeral song?
Oh, Everybody Hurts.
Oh, R.E.M. There you go. There's going to be a few tears flowing when that plays eventually.
Maybe.
So thanks very much, Jill, and thank you for listening. If you'd like to use our budget planner, please feel free to visit www.carpenterbox.com/retirementgym, where we've posted our budget planner. If you're interested in this podcast series, then the next podcast will be with Ian McCara of Bennett Griffin. He's a solicitor based in Worthing, and he'll be talking about some of the legal implications around issues that can come up in later life. Until then, thanks very much.